بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، to continue with our series on the major signs of the Day of Judgment, last time we had covered the destruction of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and desolation of Yathrib, Medina Munawwara. And then we had begun to speak about the sun rising from the west or its place of setting. Now, when the jurists among the ulama, the fuqaha, the faqih, when they look at this hadith, they're immediately going to try to work out the jurisprudence related to this particular topic, to this particular scene that will take place about the sun rising from the west. So if the sun is going to rise from the west and it's going to be equivalent to about 2 days and three nights, then what about salat during that time? This is the way their minds work, and may Allah bless them. So they've already discussed how the salat would work out during that time. So that if we're ever to run into that issue ourselves, then inshallah we'll be guided. Well, before we speak about that, there are a few other details about the rising of the sun. There's one hadith which seems to indicate that the sun and the moon, in their return from the place of their setting, when they come back at night, when they rise in the morning after that long night, it's like they're both going to be competing with each other. It's some kind of competition. And it's going, obviously, although looking at it from the moon and the sun side, it's going to be a competition between them. However, what is explained is that when the people see this, it's going to create fright. People are going to be scared. But what's going on? Because until now, all of the signs, when we look at them, the Dajjal, the Ya'juj, Ma'juj, and all the other signs, they were all worldly signs of this world. Something you could understand to a certain degree, comprehend. But now, this is the beginning of the supralunary signs. This is the beginning of the signs of the heavens. Those are now the major signs of the heavens, where the universe is changing now. Changes are being made there. So that's going to really cause a lot of fright. And that's why it mentions that the people when they see this phenomenon taking place, they're going to be frightened, they're going to be shouting at each other, what's going on, what's happening. They don't know what to do. And women who are pregnant, they will miscarry because of the fright of that day. They will miscarry. Can you imagine then how it will be when Qiyamah takes place, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as the day when women will miscarry as well. Now, the people who are pious and righteous, they're crying on that day. Because clearly when they see something of this nature, they will start to run back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what pious people do. They turn back to Allah. They're crying and their weeping and their tawbah and whatever else that they do, that will benefit them. And that will be written as a worship for them, because that's the right thing to do. In your fright, you go back to Allah. One mustn't be frightened of anything but Allah. As far as the fasiqeen, the transgressors, the unrighteous people, they will also be crying and wailing and concerned and in grief. But that will be of no avail to them on that day. They won't benefit from that. When the sun and the moon reaches then the meridian, half its way, half its course, Jibreel alayhi salam will come. So this hadith gives a bit more detail about how this is going to take place. Now, just to add here, that we know, or the way we understand it, is that the earth goes round. And the sun, it also has its own orbit, but that doesn't relate to us. The earth goes around the sun as such, and it goes around every day, the night and the day, based on the sun. So the sun isn't moving around the earth, but the earth. But from our point of view, in terms of what we observe every day, we don't see the earth going around, we see the sun moving. And that's the basis on which the hadith are written. Just in case it confuses someone, that doesn't the sun stay still and the earth and the moon go around? So why is the hadith mentioning that the sun is going from its place, one place to the other? Well, that's from the way we see it. It's not talking about it in a scientific view. It's talking about it from a very simple view that anybody in the world, whether they know science or they know the astronomy or not, they will understand it. Because clearly what we see is the sun coming up, not the earth going around. It's something we can't see, even if you believe it. So when the sun, on that day when it's risen from its place of setting, when it gets to the middle of the sky as such, Jibreel alayhi salam will come, and it will take both the moon and the sun, and it says, by their horns. Allah knows best what that means. But basically, take them, when you take somebody by the horns, it means you've got them under your control. You know, take somebody by the tail is a different thing. By the horn means you've got them under your control. And then they will be returned back to the Maghrib. They'll be returned back to the Maghrib, its place of setting. It will not be allowed to set in its new destination, meaning the east. It will return it back, because that's where the door of Tawbah is. It will have to go back there, and then it will have to come back to its normal course. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا بَابُ التَّوْبَةِ. What is this door of Tawbah in the west, where the sun sets? What is this Babu Tawbah? He said, Ya Umar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a door for repentance, Tawbah, behind the Maghrib, behind the place where the sun sets. That is also from the doors of paradise. It has two side pillars made of gold, studded with pearls and other precious stones. Between the two sides of this door, or this gate, is the distance of 40 years. A 40 year distance by a very fast runner or a fast horseman. So it's a very, very wide area. We're talking about the superlunary world, everything is big there. That door, the Prophet ﷺ continued to explain, that door was open since the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation, and will remain open, and has remained open, will remain open, until the morning of this night, when the sun rises from its place of setting. And any servant of Allah, from the children of Adam, who's made a sincere tawbah, until that day, that tawbah goes through, that repentance finds its way through that door. That's the door of tawbah, and that's the way it goes. We don't see it physically doing that, but that's what's been related. Then from there, it goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's its pathway. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, his concern is وَمَتْ تَوْبَةُ النَّصُوحِ. He's not concerned about... If you look, they never asked about how does that door look like? You know, how high is it? What kind of emeralds? What kind of jewels? They didn't worry about that. They look at the question. Ali radiallahu anhu's question is, door of Tawbah? What's the bearing of that? What's the significance of that? Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah, what is sincere Tawbah? At-Tawbatu an-Nasuh. So his focus is Tawbatu an-Nasuh now, based on the answer that was given to Ali radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, it's when a servant is remorseful over a sin that they have committed, then he runs to Allah, returns to Allah after that because of feeling bad, runs away from the world of sin to Allah, then does not return to that sin ever again, And then to explain the resolve of this Tawbah and of this person, he will never return to that sin again until milk would be able to be returned back into the udder, which is impossible. So that's the kind of Tawbah we're speaking about. Any Tawbatul Nasuh that is done goes through that door and goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepted. Which basically seems to indicate that if a Tawbah is not sincere, then it doesn't even get that far. May Allah allow us to make sincere Tawbahs. Then the hadith continues and says, then Jibreel alayhi salam will cause the sun to now reset at that door back to where it had come up on that day. And then he will cause these two sides of that door, these mighty sides of that door, to come together. They will coalesce together, come together, as though there had never been any gap in between them. This is something we cannot see. This is all to do with the supralunary world. But this has been explained to us, that the door that had been opened from the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created creation for the creation, this will signal the end of it, such that the door will be brought together, and then it will be fixed and coalesced together into such a way that you won't even see even a scar. You won't even see a crack. You won't even see where it was fixed. Jibreel alayhi salam will bring it together again. When that door of Tawbah has been closed, then after that no Tawbah will be accepted. And no good deed will benefit for anybody who does a good deed, except that which they used to do before. Which means, seems to indicate that for the believers, if they carry on doing good deeds that they used to do before, they will continue to benefit from that. Because they used to do it before, they're carrying on, they get the benefit of that. يَوْمَ تَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ. After that, the ayah that we mentioned last week as well, that when some of these signs of your Lord will become manifest, then after that nothing will benefit. Then Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, my mother and father be sacrificed for you. فَكَيْفَ بِالشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. He asked the curious question, what's going to happen to the sun and moon afterwards? And maybe that also, if we relate many things to the sun and the moon, our salats, our timing. So his concern is, what's going to happen to the sun and moon after that? قَالَ يَا أُبَيْ. He said, O Ubay, the sun and the moon, after that, they will re-inherit their light. They will reacquire their light from whatever source, or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they will continue to rise and set on the earth just as they used to before. So it will become, it will go back to normal. As far as the people are concerned, when they see what they have seen of these signs, and they consider them to be very mighty and frightening signs, after that, the people, after they've seen these signs and it's gone back to normal, they will now engross themselves in the world again, the dunya. And they will begin to inhabit the world again and build it up again. And they will continue to make their pathways and their lakes and their streams and plant their crops and their seeds and their trees and start to make the big structures that they used to make. However, at the end of this hadith, there's one statement. It says, as far as the dunya is concerned though, if a person was from that point was to rear a fowl, a young horse, from its birth, if at that point there was a birth of a young horse, fowl, and they were to start to rear it from that time, he would not be able to ride it until the day of judgment would occur. Trying to show the closeness of the day of judgment from that time. Saying that the number of years it takes to raise a fowl to a level at which it could be ridden, it could be mounted and used, the day of judgment will occur before that. Or rather, that what the hadith says is that the trumpet will be blasted. The horn will be blasted. Now that is one narration. That last point, there's a number of other narrations that tell us a few more details. So we'll look at that inshaAllah. Now this is where the fuqaha come in, the jurists. So they're saying that that night is going to be of two nights and one day. Right, two nights and one day. Two nights and one day long. So a person will have to make up five prayers. Because it's only one day and two nights. In one 24-hour period, there's five salats. So that's why five qada, five salat qada. Because the first night, the person would have already prayed, those who pray, would have already prayed Maghrib and Isha. Because the sun has set. So they prayed Isha. They were going to do Fajr. They're waiting for the sun, the 18 or 15 or 12 degrees. Right? You know, the degrees, the Fajr, basically. So they would have prayed Maghrib and Isha and gone to sleep after that. Then when the time of the next night comes, that means one whole day and one night has passed now. 24 hours. And thus there should have been five prayers in that time. So the fuqaha are saying that based on the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ was asked, after he explained the Dajjal's time and the time will go very fast, and a year will seem like, one day will seem like a year, the sahaba asked him about the salat in that time. Based on, and if we analogize on that hadith, what we find here is that you'd have to do five salat qada for that time period. And then, the person who wasn't awake at night and just slept through, they weren't woken up by the shouting and the, you know, then they would have to make those. They'd also have to make the Fajr of that day, because they'd probably miss Fajr as well. Because the Fajr would come about when you see the light. The Fajr, you know, when it's gonna about to rise from the west, there's gonna be Fajr before it, because before the sun comes up, before the sun comes up to the horizon, its light spreads. So that's where the difference of opinion lies. Does it spread? Does the Fajr light spread at 18 degrees below the horizon? Or does it spread after that when it's 15 or when it's 12? That's what the whole ikhtilaf is about. Right? So there's always a Fajr before the sun rises. So there's going to be a Fajr time now. And then noon, that's when Jibreel alayhi salam will grab it and take it back. So that's Dhuhr time. And then it will set. So Maghrib and Isha, it'll just go back. So it's Asr, then Maghrib and Isha. So then it'll all be fine. Now, number of ahadith that relate to this end time. How much time is there between this time since this major phenomenal cosmic change has taken place? Ibn Abi Shaybah relates from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that Al-Ashraru ba'd al-akhyari 20 mi'ata sana. It's kind of an ambiguous narration, but what it means is that the evil people after the good people will remain for 120 years. After all the good have gone, there'll be 120 years for the evil. Then the day of judgment will occur. That's according to this narration. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu relates in another narration, people will remain after this sun rising from its west for 120 years. So that's the length of the world, apparently, according to this hadith. But again, as I said, not all of these hadith are sahih and definitive, and not all of them are consistent either. So, another hadith from Abd ibn Humayd, that the evil people will remain, again this one, it says more clearly that the evil people will remain after the rising of the sun from its west, 20 mi'ata sana, 120 years. However, the next one says, Nu'aym relates from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, Day of Judgment will not occur until the Arabs will worship what their forefathers used to worship for 120 years after the coming of Isa alayhi salam and after Dajjal. But that seems to say that 120 years is going to start earlier from Dajjal and Ya'juj Ma'juj. But Allah knows best. Another one relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Day of Judgment will not occur until two old, very old people will meet together. One will ask the other person, what year were you born in? Meaning, when were you born? So you'll say, the time when the sun rose from the west. That hadith indicates that, it corroborates the other narrations that it will be about 120 years. Because, you know, we consider old person what? What's an old person? 80? 70? 60? It's a relative term. But 70, 80, let's play with that right now. That makes sense because it's saying 120, so within that 70 years. But then, it says that Ibn Abi Shaybah relates from Ibn Abi Shaybah and another author narrates that al-ayat kulluha fi thamaniyati ashhur. That all the signs will take place over the course of 8 months. So, that, how does that factor in? Then we've got another narration which says, in 6 months, all of them will come to pass. In fact, it says, if a person was to begin to breed a fowl and rear it up, by the time it becomes of riding age, day of judgment will have occurred before them. Now, what is the age, the minimum age at which a horse can be, you know, is for riding? So we're going to look at that. Now, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great hadith scholar, he says that the way to look and compile through all of combine all of these narrations, reconcile them, is that, yes, the narrations that say 120 years, they seem to be accurate, but they will, in order to accommodate the other narrations, which say it's going to go a lot faster, because a horse probably becomes of riding about 2 years. You know, that's probably more agreed upon, maybe, you know, 2 years. Let's just even say 2 years. So 2 years, whereas it's saying 120 years, so what does that mean? So he's saying that maybe what it is that it's going to go really fast though. It's going to be 120 years, but it's going to pass by really fast, just like it was during the Dajjal's time afterwards, towards the end. Which is corroborated by a hadith of Muslim, which says that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that Prophet ﷺ said, Day of Judgment will not occur until a year will become like a month. So if you look at it from that way, and then it says a day will become like an hour. And an hour will just be like, you put a stick in a fire, how long will it take to burn? A few minutes, it will be like that. That's a hadith of Muslim. It doesn't say when that time is going to come, but if you look at it, that's the way it seems. So one is that this time will contract during Dajjal's time, then after Dajjal is gone, then the barakah will come back, and there's going to be lots of barakah in the world during Isa alayhi salam's time, as we mentioned earlier, to such an extent that all the poison and venom will be removed from venomous animals, and they no longer will be venomous. And there's just going to be lots of wealth and lots of abundance. So there's going to be a lot of barakah, but then after Isa alayhi salam passes away, and then the world goes to its decline again, then the time will start to go really fast. The time goes fast because of, apparently, it seems to indicate that the time goes faster because of evil. And Dajjal is one of the worst of the evils. And that's why during his time it will go really fast. Then it will slow down again. You'll feel barakah in your time. And then again, it will move back to its decline. And so that's one way of reconciling them. That it's a, there will be 120 years, but in terms of how fast they go, it will seem very, very less. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ is indicating by the other hadith. Also, there's another way to look at this. That when you look at the hadith of the two older people, and you look at the hadith about the horse, that one is indicating like a 2 year, 3 year period. And the one about the two older people saying, when were you born? I was born the year the sun rose from the west. Well, maybe they're not 70, 80 years old as we understand it. Maybe in those days, younger people will be considered older because that's the way lives will be. So it's all relative. And, you know, I don't think we need to spend too much time in trying to reconcile them because it doesn't matter. What will matter is the deen and our efforts before that. So it doesn't matter about those details. I think they'll be quite mundane detail. We'll leave it to the scholars to deal with it. Because everybody's qiyamah is when they die anyway. Who cares about the main qiyamah once you've died before that? That's why there's a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in Bukhari. A person asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the day of judgment. He looked around and looked for the youngest person in the crowd. And he said that if this person gets his full life, he will not die until the day of judgment would have occurred. تَقُومُ السَّاعَ, until the last hour, not the day of judgment. The day of judgment is a misleading term, because day of judgment is يَوْمُ الْحِسَابِ. That's the day of judgment. But most of the narrations and hadith, the verse in the Quran talking about sa'a, the time, the hour, the moment. And that moment is clearly, the Prophet ﷺ here speaking about everybody's individual time of death. Not about the day of judgment, the day of everybody's doom. Right. Now, after this sun has risen from its setting place, Hafiz ibn al-Hajar al-Asqalani says in his Fathul Bari that what all of the narrations, the Sahih narrations, they indicate is that the acceptance of Tawbah will become cancelled. There will be no acceptance after the sun rises. What that means is that they just won't be accepted. And there are some narrations in Ahmad and Tabarani from Malik ibn Yukhamir and Muawiyah ibn Abdurrahman ibn Auf, not Muawiyah and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Abdullah ibn Umar, that Tawbah will continue to be accepted until the sun rises from its setting place. Once it rises from its setting place, then a seal will be placed on the heart of everybody. So there's nothing now that can change as such. And the people, their action will suffice them. Now Ibn Hammad says from Ibn Amr radiallahu an, that somebody will then announce, O people who believe, your actions have been accepted, your iman has been accepted. And O people who disbelieve, the door of repentance has been shut from you. And the pens have dried, and the scrolls have been rolled up. Now there can't be anything else written for you. That's after that happens. So in another narration it says that our hafadha, the kiram and katibin, the guardian angels, they will rise after that. They won't need to stay around anymore, because there's nothing else to write now. They won't write anything. Aisha radiallahu anha says, when the first of the ayat, now this is another confusing aspect, when she says when the first of the signs appears, meaning the rising of the sun from the west, then the pens will be thrown away and the scrolls will be rolled up. Well, how is that the first sign? But as I mentioned earlier, it's the first of the supralunary signs. So that's what she's referring to, the cosmic signs. Number of ahadith like that explain that. And now this one. All of these narrations, if you look at them, they give us this understanding. And there will be another narration that will come later on, but I'll just give you an understanding of it. That Iblis, when after the sun rises from the west, the Iblis, the head shaitan, the main one, the main devil, after the sun has risen, he will now realize that his appointed time has come. See, he had asked for respite until the day of judgment. And what the Quran verses mention doesn't say we'll give you respite until the day of judgment. It says until a period of time that is known. And this is the time that is known. So he will fall into sajda. The Iblis will fall into sajda, into prostration. And the dab, the beast that will then arise on that morning, will finally kill him. Now clearly, Iblis has done whatever he's had to do in the time allotted for him. Now the time has ended. There's nobody else to mislead now, because they're already misled and they've been sealed now in that way. So his time ends. So he's killed. There'll be more detail about that later on, about exactly how that will take place. There's also, if you study this subject, there are a number of books on this subject. You'll see that there are a number of different hadith about what is the first sign. Because in some narrations it says the first of the signs is the appearance of the Dajjal. Another one it says the sun rising from its west. In another one it mentions the Dabba. But these are all relative to different issues. So I think I've already explained that to you. Nu'aym ibn Hammad relates in his book of Fitan, Hakim in his Mustadrak, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. This is a very important hadith. From Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that the people will not remain after Ya'juj Ma'juj until the sun rises from its west and the pens are dried out, the scrolls are rolled up, and from nobody now is any repentance accepted. Iblis will then fall into prostration and he will proclaim, Ilahi, O my God. Like, O my God, not O my God in surprise. Okay. Murni an asjuda liman shit. Command me to make sajda and prostration for whoever you want. He's going back to that time. Right? Now he's saying, tell me, who do you want me to make sajda for? Now, the other shayateen, the smaller ones, right, relative to him, they will all gather around and they'll say, Ya Sayyidina, our master, ila man tafza, who are you entreating? Who are you humbling yourself in front of? And then that's when he will explain. إِنَّمَا سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي أَن يُنظُرَنِي إِلَى أَن يُنظِرَنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الْبَعْثِ. That I had asked my Allah, to my Lord, to give me respite, this power, this ability, until the day of resurrection. But He gave me respite until a known time. And the sun has now risen from its west. And this is the appointed time. Now the shayateen will become, the shayateen will no longer remain invisible. They will now become visible to the people. So you'll suddenly start seeing shayateen. And you'll recognize your shaytan. Person will say, this was my qareen. Qareen is the name of each person, shaytan, that is allotted for him from the time of the birth. Oh, this is my qareen. This was the one that used to be with me, who used to mislead me. Alhamdulillahi alladhi akhza. All praises to Allah who has now humiliated him. وَلَا يَزَالُ إِبْلِيسُ سَاجِدًا بَاكِيًا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ الدَّابَّ فَتَقْتُلَهُ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. And this Iblis will remain in this sajda, crying and weeping, until the beast arrives, appears, and will kill him while he's in this state of prostration. Now, this supports the opinion that the beast is going to arrive after the sun rises from the west. Now, after that, though we can say 120 years in all, but there is going to be a separation there between the believers and the disbelievers. So it says that the believers will now benefit from their life on this earth for another 40 years. And it will be such a time of blessing for them that anything they want they'll be given. This will be 40 years after the Dabba disappears. We'll talk about the description of the beast afterwards. But this is just to put us in the picture. And then after that, the death will begin to overtake them. We'll talk about how they will die afterwards as well. But this is just, again, to show us the outline. Eventually, there will be no believers left. So death will take them very fast. Just the believers, not the disbelievers. Now, only the disbelieving people will remain. يَتَهَارَجُونَ فِي الطُّرُقِ كَالْبَهَائِمِ. Basically, just intermingling, for lack of other words, in the streets like animals do. Acting in a very bestial manner, no angelic side left whatsoever. It's going to be very haywani, balhum adal, in fact even more deviant than that. Until a person will fornicate with his mother in the middle of the street. One person will stand up and another person will get down. And the best of them, and this is the famous hadith, the best of the people at that time, of the disbelievers, will be the one who will have some sense of embarrassment and say, if you could do it on the side, please, it would be better. They will remain like that until only illegitimate children will be born. So all the offspring now will be illegitimate. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the women to become barren for 30 years. Barren means they're infertile, they can't give birth. So now it will all be awladuz zina. All illegitimate children. Shirarun nas. These will be the worst of the people. And on them will the last hour arrive. The dabbatul ard, the beast of the earth, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran as well, it will erupt from a place in Safa. Safa and Marwa. So it will erupt from Mecca, from a place by Safa. And it will do its work there. It'll have three appearances. It will disappear for a while in between. We'll look at that in detail afterwards. But the first appearance will be from Safa. And after it's dealt with the people in that area, then the step that it will take will, one step of it will land it in Antioch. Antioch is in the south of Turkey, close to the Syrian side of things. It's called Antakya. It's a famous, very old, ancient city, Antioch. And فَتَأْتِي إِبْلِيسِ, then it will go to Iblis and it will seal the fate of Iblis. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ. That when the word is placed against them, when the final decision is made and the evidence is placed against them, we will cause to come out of the earth a dab, a beast, that will speak to them. Nobody will be able to escape it. And nobody will be able to escape it in the sense that if it's going after someone, it will be able to capture that person. And if a person tries to run away, it will not be able to run away. What will it speak to it about? You know, it says, تُكَلِّمُهُمْ. Allah says in the Quran that it will speak to them. It will discourse with them. What will it speak to them about? So the Mufassirin have said that it will speak to them about the futility of all other faiths except the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will speak about the submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that will only create more misery, obviously, for those who have not believed yet, because now there will be no possibility of changing one's belief. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu relates that when the ulama pass away and the knowledge is removed and the Quran is lifted, that's another sign, the Quran being lifted, then that is when this dabba will come. So it seems like the Quran is going to be lifted around this time as well. Some have read this tukallimuhum in another way. Tuklimuhum, which means to injure someone, to cause an injury. Because one of the functions of it will be to sign everybody off as a believer or a disbeliever. As stated a while back when we were talking about Dajjal, remember the Sahabi radiallahu anhu went to the island and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained his story, Adi radiallahu anhu, or Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu, and they first saw the Jassasa. They first saw this really hairy animal. So we had mentioned there that there's an opinion that that is the dabba which will come. So Allah knows best. So it seems like based on that, means Tamim al-Dari saw the dabba. But there are other descriptions as well. Right, now, Again, it doesn't matter what it's going to look like, but some of the Sahaba have mentioned what it's going to look like. So it's profile. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu relates that it will have a very long neck and it will be seen from afar. So it will be very big, be huge. It will have the, according to this narration, it says that it will have the face of a human being, but a beak like that of a bird, full of hair and fur, be very hairy and furry. So it will have fur. That's according to a narration from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu as well. So there's a number of narrations like that which speak about it's going to be like a very furry animal. It's going to have different colors on it as well. There's quite a few interesting points, but I'm not going to go through everything that they've said. There's some really interesting points they've written about it. But another narration from Abu Zubayr, when he described the Dabba, is that the head will be like that of a buffalo, the eyes like that of a pig, ears like that of an elephant, horns like that of a stag, and a neck like that of sheep or maybe a deer, chest like that of a lion, color that of a leopard, and hips like that of a cat, and tail like that of a ram, and legs like that of a camel. And yet, there's another narration of Ibn Abbas, it says, no, the face will be like that of a human being, and with a beak, which we read earlier. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, it doesn't matter. It's function, which is important right now. But what is it going to do? What's its purpose in this world? So it's related that it will have the asa of Musa alayhi salam with it. The staff of Musa alayhi salam. And the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And it will call out with a very loud voice, إِنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ. That the people used to not be convinced about our signs, not believe in our signs. And then it will begin to stamp everybody as a believer or disbeliever. As far as the believer, his face will become like that of a radiant star. There's more description about that later. And it will be written between his forehead, mu'min, believer. And as far as the disbeliever is concerned, it will be written between his eyes, a dot will be placed there. A black dot. Kafir. That's what it will refer to. People will try to run away from it. But the disbelievers will run away from it. The believers will stay put. So around it, when it first comes in its appearances, the believers will stay put. Because they know that they cannot go beyond the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. So it will start with them. And it will embellish them first, their faces. So when it puts that stamp on their face, it will spread and their face will become really radiant, like that of a shining star. Some of the disbelievers will try to figure out a way to escape it, or try to get a good sign by trying to pray. But it will know and says, Ya fulan, al-ana tusalli. Oh so and so, right now you're praying? So, it will seal its forehead, then it will go on. Now, the people will then, in between its appearances in different places, it won't appear in the same place again, it will appear in one place, then another place, then another place, dealing with everybody. People will begin to find out about it. And now, once the seal has been placed on everybody, now it will become quite a casual kind of discourse. Oh believer, oh disbeliever. That's the discourse. That's how people will address each other. According to one narration, it says that when it does come and erupt for the first time, it will shriek three times. And everybody will be able to hear it. It says, it will first come in the east, and it will shriek, and everybody will get to hear it. Then it will come to Sham, the Levant. Again, it will do the same thing there. Then it will come to the west. Now, east and west, where it starts from, you know, most likely depends on how you look at it. Because right now, the way we have the globe, the way it's presented to us, it shows north and south pole, and it shows Europe to be in the north and Africa to be in the south. But the gharb is, the east and the west is quite relative, depending on where you start from and how you're looking at it. Because in the grand realm of things, Australia is not really underneath, right? And neither is the North Pole at the top. It's all the same, regardless of where you are. That's why we don't fall off the earth, right? And we don't feel like we're upside down, but because it's not just about gravity, is it? Because if it's just about gravity, you'd feel upside down but still stuck to the earth with your feet in Australia, but that doesn't happen. So really, wherever you are, that's where you are in the grand realm of things. So all of these are just different perspectives. So it mentions that it will put a white spot, a white dot, seal, stamp on the forehead, on the masjid of the masjid means a place where you put your head in sajda, and then it will spread on a believer. Now, where will it erupt from? Again, three times it will erupt. One narration says from Yemen. One says Makkah. And so on and so forth. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him the place where this beast will come out from in Makkah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him that place. And he says that it's before the hole that is by Safa. And I've never gone there to look at this place with this view, but Safa and Marwa. Is there a tunnel there somewhere? Isn't there a tunnel on that side somewhere? Wallahu alam. I mean, there could be a new tunnel made soon anyway, because they're taking down hills. The last time I went, about 2.5 years ago, they were still trying to take down the Jabal Umar. And they've been trying to do it for so many years. I mean, they named it Jabal Umar, and they're trying to take it down. It's going to give them a hard time. And it was. I used to see one small caterpillar at the top. This bulldozer or whatever, trying to work on this big mountain. Subhanallah. We'll stop there. There's the end of that, which we'll finish inshallah. Then the end of Shaytan. And then the dukhan, the smoke that the believers will feel. And moving to the end of the world.
وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.